But that isn't really why I'm here. I'm here to welcome our dear friends, Gerard and Jeannie, who are going to share with us today. I was thinking about this idea of old friends today. Gerard and Jeannie are, I was going to say dear old friends, but they are very dear to us. And they are friends that go back a long way, that sense of old, if you know what I mean. I was thinking a while ago about this thing of vision. And vision is something that is very, very important for us as individuals and as a church. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking there's actually something even more important that comes before vision, and that is perspective. That if we don't have perspective, then we'd end up with the wrong vision if we're not careful. And I've always been struck by the fact that I think for Gerard and Jeannie, one of the things God has given them is an amazing gift of perspective. Seeing things from this wonderful eternal perspective for all that they've been through. So it's with a real pleasure and great anticipation that we welcome Gerard and Jeannie here today. I understand they were radio stars on Friday. Anyone who listens to Premier Radio, they were on a program. You didn't know? They must have been bugging their conversation. They didn't know they were on the radio. I think on Friday on a program called Woman to Woman, which I guess is the kind of woman's hour kind of thing for Premier Radio. And I've heard the beginning of it. It's on the internet. So if you go to the Premier Radio website and look at Women to Woman, Woman to Woman, go to minute 11, the 11th minute, and you'll hear their wonderful interview. What a pleasure. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we so thank you, Lord, for your great love to us, Lord, your great kindness, that you are with us, here in this place, Lord, that you want to speak to us, to each single person here this morning, and to us as a congregation. And we want to open our hearts to what you want to say to us, Lord. We pray for Gerard and Jeannie that you put your word so very clearly in their hearts, Lord, that you anoint them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that every word would hit the target, Lord, would have impact on our lives, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Can you hear my voice? I have such a tiny voice, everyone tells me. I just want to say some things are indescribable, and I didn't think I'd be able to stand up to say thank you. Sometimes tears, I hope, express my heart to you, because I love you all so much, and Jared and I couldn't have got thus far without this beautiful church. Mm. You've got the most beautiful hearts.
Yeah.
We are blessed in this season to travel, aren't we, I think,
yeah.
In America?
Yes.
To other churches, if we're privileged to share our story. This morning I've been with my brothers and sisters, with my family. Mm. I love you guys so much, and we feel you with us so much when we're a million miles away. Mm. I love Philippa's word. I loved Nick's word. That's a word. That these are so what God has spoken to us. Dale's like, oh, yeah. oh, like that. And that's what you get here. The word of God is just so living and active,
yes,
and powerful every moment. And I think it's heart to heart and soul to soul.
Yes.
And I think that's all.
Okay, no, that's good.
That's very good. Well done.
Just echoing Jeannie's word, I just want to say thank you for my side. A great privilege to be here. It really is to be worshipping the Lord with you. I was so encouraged. We've been so encouraged by your love and support for ATG, Awakening to God Ministries, and you're part of it. So I want to give you just a brief update, if I may, before I talk about devotion. So Awakening to God Ministries is really helping people who are suffering all around the world. And we take Isaiah 61 as our founding scriptures. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And you have sponsored a village. You saw the video. We've now got funding for 61 villages in India. Tens of thousands of people are coming to know Jesus. We're going out with another missionary organization as we provide the holistic side of things. They provide the gospel, so to speak. It goes together, obviously. So great things are happening. We are aiming for 100 villages. We hope to get the funding for those 100 by the end of this year. And it's wonderful this morning, actually, to have one of our board members, Nigel. Nigel's a dear friend. Come on, Nigel. Nigel's a dear friend who some of you may remember, going back many, many years, we met in a dance hall. What was the road called? Lady Margaret Road. It was a little unusual, but it was full of life. And we used to go, some of you are nodding your head, you remember that. And Nigel came, I'd met him in the city, probably one of my oldest friends actually in the city when I first came back in 1981, a long time ago. Anyway, he came along to this service, and we used to sit in a circle in those days, and the presence of God used to come down on the meeting. And I always remember you turned to me, we hadn't started the meeting at this stage, and you said, God, there's so much energy here, isn't there? And it was the presence of the Lord. And so Nigel, we've been journeying together. He loves coming, I know, coming back to here, to New Life, because the Lord is present still here, moving so very powerfully. Nigel's on our board, and Nigel is doing, well, tell us what you're doing in April, May this year.
Okay. Well, I wanted to help raise some funds for ATG, and I thought, what can I do? I can't run anymore. I can't climb mountains. I can cycle. And then I thought, well, where shall I cycle to and from to get sponsored by my friends? I can't cycle Land's End to John O'Groats. That sounds boring. I know what. I love cathedrals. I will cycle to every cathedral in England. Yeah. So there are 42 Church of England cathedrals. I'm starting in Truro in Cornwall on the 1st of April, and I'm finishing in Carlisle round about the end of June. So I'm not doing it all in one go. I'm doing sort of six or seven at a time, coming home to rest. I've got a few things to fit in between. But that's my plan.
Yeah.
And Gerard, I had the pleasure of playing different sports against Gerard and with Gerard over the years. We've played tennis, we've played golf. Now, Gerard, as you probably know, was a tremendous runner. I've never run with or against him, but cycling, I invited Gerard to come and do a couple of legs with me. Now, he could easily have chosen Truro to Exeter, which is a serious cycle ride. He could have chosen Newcastle to Carlisle across the Pennines. No, he's chosen Portsmouth to Chichester, which is about 17 miles, flat as a pancake. He's not as daft as he looks. So anyway, I think, I'm afraid to say, you'll be probably getting some sort of communication from me inviting you to sponsor me on my ride, my cycle ride, and maybe even if you're feeling inclined to come and join me for a leg, such as Truro to Exeter. What else do I need to say about it? Is it? Yeah. Well, I think specifically within ATG, I'd like to help fund some of the boreholes in the Indian villages to provide fresh drinking water. So, yes, I've guaranteed, haven't I, to raise at least enough money to do 13 villages. So, a good, very good question. Thank you. It's 1,300 miles, and it's about 33,000 feet of elevation. No. So, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. That's great. So you're, I just asked Nigel, because you're part of it. You are part of all of this. Jesus said, whatsoever you do to one of the least of these, you're doing it unto me. So we're helping the poorest of the poor. These are the untouchables in India. And we're showing them that God loves them. Praise God. So bless you for that. The other part of ATG, and one other part, is the brokenhearted. We had a message a few weeks ago from a lady called Ruth. Her tragic story was that her daughter, 22-year-old daughter, fell off a cliff in Southern California and died, and she was absolutely shattered. And we get messages like this all the time online, and she wrote to us and said, I was looking online to try and find some comfort, came across your videos, was greatly comforted. I was over in the UK, I was showing my sister about your website and everything and your story, and she said, hang on, I know those two people. Well, some of you will remember Lawrence and Sarah. That was Sarah's sister, Ruth. We'd just been actually evacuated from Malibu, because you may have seen the fires that were going on over there. We had to get out. It was a mandatory evacuation. Went down to San Diego, Ruth happened to be down in San Diego at the same time. She lives down there. So we met up, and she's now going to help us to help the brokenhearted as well. Brokenhearted, the captives. We just launched a thing called Prevent Suicide and also Restoring Hope to the Captives. That's to do with sexual slavery. So you're part of it. It's very exciting what's going on. God's opening up doors that his kingdom start breaking out and start addressing some of the evil that's going on in this world. Praise God. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. We've got some resources at the back. I'll just mention these. They're on a Christmas New Year discount. Just £5 for these now. They're normally more than that. And we've also started this last year, Triumph of Marriage. You see, God's in the business of leading us into redemption, restoration, and triumph. Sometimes he permits, Joni Erickson Tardy, you may have heard her quote, she said, sometimes God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. So when things don't go to plan in our lives, God actually is working through those things. God never loses control. He works in them to bring about his glory, to reveal the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what God's about. And Satan tried to destroy our marriage. In every area he tried to destroy us, God's intent that his name would be exalted through it. And so we've now started this thing called Triumph for Marriage, an online e-learning course. But we've also just done these books. We're using these out in India, actually, now. And I've got a few of them. I'm not meant to use them here in the UK, but I've got a few. So if you want these, they're £15. The reason they're a bit much is you get access to all 20 lessons. There's a little code in there that you can put online. So I just mentioned those resources. All of the funds go to help the poor. Praise God. So this morning, I'm told you're launching this year on the topic of devotion. Devotion. It's a great, great topic to talk about. And I could talk about devotion to Jesus as my King. I could talk about devotion to Jesus as my Lord, as a creator of the universe. All of these things. But this morning, I want to talk to you about devotion to Jesus as my best friend. As my best friend. And I want to share with you how I've come to know Jesus as my best friend and how I, in turn, want to be faithful in being a good friend to him. In fact, that's my goal in life. I want to hear those words. You've been faithful. You were a good friend back. That's my heart. And so I want to just share with you, first of all, we go to the next slide, Filthy Will. I love this song. This song was written by a chap called Charles William Fry. It's great because you see through history sometimes, you come across people who just love Jesus Christ with all their hearts. And you realize God kept a remnant of people who just loved him so much. He was the first bandmaster for the Salvation Army. Born in Wiltshire, he died the year after he wrote this song. He was only 44 years old when he passed away. But the words in this song are absolutely amazing. What you have to ponder, I won't go through them all now, but the first line itself gets you, doesn't it? I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. Isn't that beautiful? He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. That's a great line. People chase after all sorts of things to be whole. All you actually need to be whole is Jesus, to know him with all your heart. In sorrow, who's my comfort? And I'll share a bit about the sorrow we've been through the last 13 years. Some of you know some of our story. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Thanks, Phil. In all my grief, he all my grief has taken, all my sorrows born. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. On and on. I found a friend in Jesus. And, you know, when you've found someone who's really special to you and really beautiful to you, all you want to do is to be faithful back to them as a friend. And I've come to realize that it all flows from Jesus. I want to ask you just to show you a little video. The video is, I have to give you a heads up, the people who are singing it, they wouldn't win any prizes for fashion or anything like that. They're not great in terms of what they're wearing. But look at their hearts and see the joy in their face. In fact, when I need a bit of encouragement, I will watch this video again and again and again. I love the words, but maybe even more than that, I love their hearts. These are young people, and maybe they remind me a bit of Rebecca and Alex, I don't know. But one of the great joys, when you see people worshiping the Lord, it just stirs your heart, doesn't it? So can we watch this video and just see their hearts?
I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Thank you so much. Does anyone recognize the writing there? I think it's Russian. Everyone know that? But I haven't discovered that. But isn't that great? They're lovely hearts, aren't they? So that's what I want to share about this morning. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. May we just pray. Lord, we just so thank you that this morning we can know you as a great friend, the best friend we can ever have. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, of your great love for each one of us, that you want to be our friend, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of the whole universe, and yet you want to be a good friend to each one of us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come now and to reveal Jesus to us in a new and a fresh and a beautiful way. Amen. So the first thing I want to say is that it all flows from him and through him and to him. He's the one from the very beginning. And it starts by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus. I love this verse, the last verse in Romans 11. Paul's been laying out the whole of the theology, the key theology of how we understand God and how God came to rescue us through Jesus. And he ends up with this verse: for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory. We've been singing that this morning. To him be the glory forever and ever. Praise God. I'm adding that. Amen. So I realize that it's the Holy Spirit that actually reveals Jesus to us. It's not as though something we can do ourselves. I remember in my last year at college, I was 22 years old. It was 1980. And I'd given my heart to Jesus as a young boy, kneeling beside the bed with my sister. I remember very clearly asking Jesus to come into my life, forgive my sins, be my good shepherd. And he became my savior at that time. But I have to say, he was not my Lord. You know the difference between that. Jesus can be a savior to us. We know that he died on the cross for us. We know that he took our sins on himself. But sometimes he's not always our Lord. We have different areas of our lives that we close off. And I had different areas of my life. Running was one of them. I was a very serious runner, a middle distance runner. I had a business, relationships. So, you know, areas of my life, money, future, pleasure, all of these things were closed off. And in 1980, my brother, who'd been into the drug scene, had written to me. He came back to Jesus and said, "Gerald, I want you to know that God's got a plan for your life made out of perfect love." And I was sitting at my desk, it was February the 14th, Valentine's Day, and as I was sitting there, God spoke to me so very clearly and showed me that he's got a plan for my life, and I may not get all the things that I wanted on the outside, but inside he'd given me quality of life. And it was like a light came on inside. I suddenly realized that this is it. I could get to be the Olympic, you know, get a gold medal at the Olympics, make millions of pounds, got all these things, but if inside I'm miserable and sad, what have I got? Nothing. On the other hand, you might have nothing on the outside, but if he's given me quality of life on the inside, I've got everything. I saw it. It made sense. The light came on. So at that point, I surrendered my heart to the Lord. All the areas of my life, I said, okay, no longer do I want to be Lord of these areas. I want you to be Lord of this area of my life. And as I did that, the Holy Spirit did something so deep within my heart. You see, Romans 5:5 said it's the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The dear, dear Holy Spirit who comes. At the end of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, it says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship." That's the word koinonia. It means intimacy. The intimacy of the Holy Spirit. And he came and flooded my heart with God's love. I wept like a baby. I was captain of the track team, one of the lads on campus, and all these hadn't cried for 7 or 8 years. And yet when God's love touches your heart, he melts you. He melts you. And if we're going to be a good friend to Jesus, I would suggest that we need our hearts touched by the Holy Spirit again and again and again and again. See, in John 16, verse 14, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, "He will come and he will take from what is mine, and he will make it known to you." In other words, he will reveal who I am to you. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. He reveals Jesus to us. He explains to us how beautiful he is, how wonderful he is, how glorious he is. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You may have felt him as we were worshipping this morning. Touches of God where you just feel your heart strangely warmed. Sometimes you start to cry. Well, I wept that morning. I wept and wept from the bottom of my heart. I wasn't quite sure what was going on, to be honest. I was a bit frightened in a sense because it was unusual. I didn't know what was happening. But God was touching me. God, the Holy Spirit, was touching me. And I was completely transformed. And as I came through from that, I realized that in my heart, I was just head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. I just loved him with everything I had. And all I wanted to do from that moment on was for his beauty, his loveliness, his excellence to be made known. His glory to be made known. That people wouldn't see religion in the wrong sense or see anything that the do to do, you know, cross off this T and dot this I. No, they would meet with the person of Jesus Christ. God, the Son of God, who came and walked on this earth some 2,000 years ago. Emmanuel, God with us, came to reveal how much he loved each one of us. And we look through scripture and we see that. So the Holy Spirit did that in my heart. And that's why it's from him and through him and to him. Because it's all him. And all I'm going to share this morning, it comes from what God is doing in our hearts. It's his work. We can't take any glory at all. It's all him. He does it all. What we do is present ourselves to him and say, yes, yes, and thank you. Yes, I want more of you, Lord. Yes, I want to be a good friend to you. Yes, I want to follow you. Holy Spirit, would you come? Those last words there, come thou burning spirit, come, was written by the same guy who wrote the first song, Charles William Fry. See, he understood. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He understood it was the work of the Holy Spirit who did that. And so he would say, come, Spirit, come. And we can say that in our lives all through, every day. Come, Spirit, come. It's a great, one of the first prayers of the church. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and reveal Jesus to me, because I want to fall in love with him more. If we can go on there, Phil. So it's his work. And when that love's in our hearts, it compels us. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Have you ever wondered why the disciples laid their lives down like they did? All of them had terrible lives in a sense. Tortured to death, many of them. And yet they did it willingly, with all their hearts. Why did they do that? Well, this verse explains it. It says the love of Christ compels us. You see, when you've got that love burning in your heart, you're willing to do anything. Go anywhere. Do whatever he wants us to do. That's what love does, isn't it? We know it in a natural sense. Sometimes you see people who fall in love, and they're in the romance start, and they'll do amazing things, won't they? Going up all night, go for romantic walks and all of this. Love does great things. But when God's love is in our heart, we do great things for him. The love of Christ compels us. For we are convinced that one died for all, and he died for all, that those who live would no longer live for themselves. It's not about me anymore. It's not about us anymore. It's all about him. I want people to meet my best friend. I want people to meet Jesus. So it's his love in us compels us to lay our lives down. It compels us to say no to the things we should say no to. It compels us to do the things we should do to please him. It's God's love in our heart. So what is it then, having fallen in love with Jesus, thanks Phil, having fallen in love with Jesus, the next question is, well, how can I be a good friend back to him? God said of Abraham, he said, Abraham, my friend, in Isaiah 41. Amazing. God would call a human being a friend. He called Abraham a friend. Jehoshaphat, when he was facing great, great danger, he reminded God, hey, they're coming to attack your people. Remember, they came from Abraham, your friend. In James 2, he also said about Abraham being God's friend. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a good friend to Jesus. He's my best friend. And I want to be a great friend back to him. And so I want to just go through three characteristics of friendship. Thanks, Phil. Three characteristics. The first characteristic of being a good friend is that if you're going to be a friend to someone, you've got to be in agreement. It's very hard to be a good friend with someone where you're always arguing and always fighting. Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they be agreed?
If you're always at each other's throats and always fight, it's hard to be really good friends like that. So what I found after the Holy Spirit filled my heart on that morning of February the 14th, 1980, I fell head over heels in love with Jesus. But the other thing I found in my heart is that I just was desperate to read the Bible. God stirred up in me the love for his word. I have to hold this up because I have the word in here now. But you know what I mean. It's God's word. And it literally came alive. Before, I used to go to church and I used to, you know, read it from that. It was pretty dry. But when the Holy Spirit comes in our hearts, it becomes red hot. And I found I couldn't put the Bible down. I'd read it all through the night. I'd make all these notes. I'd ring up my parents who'd been Christians for many years and say, "Have you seen this scripture here?" You know, it came alive to me. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our heart. Because you see, if you want to walk with God, you've got to have his heart. And you've got to know what he likes and what he dislikes. The word became flesh. And I realized not only did I need to know God's word, I needed it to become part of me. And I wanted to become part of his word. Shortly after that event with the Holy Spirit, my dear sister, who's now in heaven, Jax, she sent me a little book called Daily Light. And it's full of scripture. And I decided, and God was over it, and I'll explain that later on, but I decided for the next 18 months, every day before I went out to work, when we were working in the city, I memorized all the scriptures in that Daily Light. And sometimes there were 10, 12 scriptures. Sometimes it would take me half an hour, 40 minutes to memorize them before I went out to work there. And sometimes I'd memorize the evening ones as well. God was over that time. But I want to encourage you that this God's word. Who's got a Bible here? Just hold up because it's nothing like a physical Bible. You get the idea. There we are. There's a Bible there. This is the word of God. This is the word of Almighty God. He's ensured that what we have in the word is his word. Unbelievable. It's a bestseller every year. It's been written by over 40 authors, over three continents, in three languages. And yet it's a perfect tapestry of God's story. It's a perfect tapestry of his story of humankind and his great love for humankind. It's the word of God. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away." God's word is dynamite. God's word is powerful. And so I memorize those scriptures. And I memorize scriptures now when I'm going through a hard time. I will memorize scriptures in the morning. And in the evening, I have great joy that flows through. There's power in God's word. Great power in God's word. So you want to be a good friend to Jesus? Get his word inside you. Let it become part of you. Live out his word. Jesus said, if you hold to my word, then you are my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, how do you hold to his word if you don't know what his word is? If you don't know the things that he loves and the things that he hates, how do you hold to his word? You've got to get the word inside you. So that's the first thing about being devoted to God, is that we will love his word and we will obey his word. He who has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me. See, it's great singing "I love you, Jesus" on a Sunday morning. That's good. It's lovely. But actually, what we want him to do is to say, "Yeah, I know that you love me because I've seen you all through the week. You've been faithful. You've been loving me. You've been following my word." That's a good friend. That's a good friend. "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So that's the first thing, first characteristic about being a good friend to Jesus. Total agreement, in line with his word, living according to his word. The second one is loyalty and dependability. You see, God wants us to be revealing Jesus here on earth. He wants us to be living out this word that he's put within us, to reveal his kingdom here on earth. In fact, it says in Ephesians 3 verse 10, it says this. It says, "God's intent is that now, through the church," that's us, "the manifold wisdom of God," that's his purposes, his ways, how he does things, his kingdom, "might be revealed to the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms." That's what it says in Ephesians 3. In other words, through you and me, God is revealing his great wisdom and his great purposes through us, the church. Amazing privilege, isn't it? And so he wants us to be ambassadors also in this dark and broken world. So as we go out, we're revealing God's love to a broken world. That's why as we do these things to help the poor and the broken and the captives and the prisoners, it's revealing something of God's love, showing the world what God's love looks like. Praise God. So he wants us to, this word to become real to us. We had John 15, that was the memory verse, Michelle, wasn't it, a bit later on. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And one of the things that I've understood from walking with Jesus for many, many years is that he wants his word to be proved and tested in our lives. Proved and tested in our lives. He says of Jesus, as though he was a son, yet he learnt obedience by what he suffered. In other words, God will allow us to go through situations to test us, to try us, whether we're going to hold to his word or not. I love the thing about Abraham. He was tested, wasn't he? He was tested. Remember when God said to him, I want you to take your son, Isaac, and to sacrifice him. Now, God wouldn't do this test in today, but it was a specific test in the Old Testament. And he was going to go. He was going to be obedient all the way. He wasn't holding back anything. Even his dear son. And then God says to him in Genesis 22 verse 12, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And I've come to see that God, he does test his word in us. He does want to see whether we're going to hold on to his word. And sometimes it appears that he's abandoned us. Maybe you've had times in your walk with God where you've wondered where God was. Maybe there's some here this morning and you're wondering, I don't know where God is. It's almost like he withdraws for a while. Where are you, God? Well, he's there. He never leaves you or forsakes you. But he's wanting to see where your heart is. He's wanting to see whether you will hold on to him. I remember that ever so clearly. We were in America. We were in a place called Lake Forest, is on the side of Lake Michigan, living there. And we were on the top of the mountain. Everything was going really well in our Christian walk. Loved Jesus with everything we had. And we had a wonderful marriage, three wonderful children. Some of you may remember Rebecca, Ben and Alex. And working in a had a great job. We were seeing people come to know Jesus in our front room doing Alpha. And a beautiful house. And I said to Jeannie, I said, does it get any better than this? We're on top of the mountain, which is great. And there may be some here this morning. Everything's fantastic. If I said to you, you'd honestly say, you know what? It couldn't get any better. Everything's fantastic. And if that's you this morning, praise God. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because we go through seasons in God. But do remember that in John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. In this world you have. See, we live in a broken world, a world that's rebelled against God, that's turned away from God, that's cursed God. And as a consequence, we live in a very broken world. Because there's evil and death and sin in this world. That's where Jesus came to rescue us from that. We're here to show his rescue plan to a broken world. But we face it as well. It comes to us in different forms. In this world, you will have trouble. Not you might have, you will have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. Well, shortly after I said those words to Jeannie, our world fell apart. Everything was shattered. Because on the 8th of November in 2005, our youngest son, Alex, some of you remember, he was an unbelievable athlete, a beautiful young man. He had come to know the Lord as a young boy and loved Jesus. But he was trying to help a boy at school. The boy gave Alex a drug. He took a drug. He became delusional, psychotic. And on the 8th of November 2005, he went outside and committed suicide. And it was as though darkness came down upon us. Now, we'd prayed for our children all through conception, right the way through, the blood of Jesus over them. We'd loved them with everything we had and laid our lives down. We'd been serving God for 24 years with everything we had. And yet this had happened. Yeah, this had happened. Sometimes things don't go to plan, do they? You hope for a job, that you get a job and didn't work. Maybe a relationship broke down. And maybe things have happened in your life. And you think, well, hang on, where was God in that? If he's all powerful and he's sovereign, how did that happen? How did he allow that to happen? And I went through absolute brokenness. Jeannie, her mother's heart shattered, went into great darkness and great depression. And she lost her faith for 2 years, actually. And our marriage, as I say about the triumph of marriage, our marriage became within a thread of breaking. And I remember I used to go down in the middle of the night, I used to go down to my study and I used to weep until I had no more tears left to weep. It was absolutely shattered. I remember the darkest point of that time, one night when I was weeping, I said these words inside. I think I said them out loud. I said, "Jesus, I thought you were my friend. How did you allow this to happen?" And as I said it, I felt almost a punch in the stomach, because it was the Holy Spirit. He was bringing me up. Thankfully, it didn't last long. And I realized that he hadn't abandoned me. He was there all the time. He was just working something far deeper and far greater. And the thing that got me through that time was eternity. He opened up eternity for me. I came to understand eternity, that this life is just a vapor. See, relative to eternity, it's just a vapor. It's just a breath. I know it seems quite intense when you're in it now, doesn't it? At times, it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes. But relative to eternity, it's just a blink. It really is. C.S. Lewis, I love what he says. It's a cover page of a never-ending story. Amazing. So as I saw eternity, God opened up to me the fact that Alex is still alive. He's with Jesus now. And we're going to see him again. But he's asking us to go through this great pain now by his grace. And I learned Hebrews 4 verse 16. We go boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. What is grace? It's everything you need to do his will. Everything you need to do his will and to be the person God wants you to be and do the things he's called you to do. What did he call me to do in that time? Was to love Jeannie with everything I had, because she was in darkness and she was in brokenness. And it was very painful. And she would offload her pain to me, and she was planning to leave me. It was just the pain was too much. And I used to go to God and say, I can't do that. Natural love only goes so far. Only goes so far. Agape love, the love that's poured into our hearts, we just heard about in Romans 5:5. Agape love is God's love. And that's unconditional and unending. And if you know Jesus here this morning, you have that love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Not only that, you have a source that you can go to again and again and again and again to be the person God wants you to be and to do the things he's called you to go do. See, God's designed it for friendship. He wants us to come to him. He's waiting. A dear friend we used to have, Keith Johnson, some of you may remember, he was sharing once. Do you remember? He was sharing about how what inspired him to get up and with the Lord in the morning was the fact that Jesus was waiting in his kitchen for him every morning. And he didn't want to let him down. He couldn't stand the thought of Jesus being on his own down there waiting for him. You see, he's designed it for friendship. So I'd go to Jesus, I would offload all my pain, and he would pour in his love. He is a friend who never leaves us, who never forsakes us. There's a proverb that says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's our Jesus. Later on, another time I was weeping, and as I was weeping, I felt an arm around me. And I really was so convinced there was someone there, I looked up to see who it was. There was no one physically there, and yet there was someone there. It was Jesus. And you know what he was doing? He was weeping with me. You see, Jesus feels every bit of pain that you go through. And one of the things we've learned, Jeannie and I, in our pain and our suffering, is that we've entered into God's suffering, into God's pain. Because you see, he sees every girl that's trapped in sexual slavery in India. Now, 5 million young girls out there who are trapped in sexual slavery. He sees every bit of brokenness around in this area now, behind closed doors. Every bit of pain here in this room, and he feels it. God feels your pain. And he weeps with you. And I realize that God wants us to do something about that. I love the thought that I can relieve some of his pain in helping the poor and the brokenhearted and the others. You might say, well, hang on, why doesn't God stop it? A lot of people say that. Well, if God's all powerful and all, why doesn't he stop it? And the answer is, he is going to stop it. There's going to be a day, maybe it's this year, that Jesus is going to come back. But here's the thing. When that day comes, the choice is over. The choice is over. Because every day is another day for people to receive Jesus as their Saviour and to be with God for eternity. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've never done that. You've never received Jesus. You never realized that God came to this earth to rescue you. You see, the greatest suffering that's ever happened on this earth was Jesus being tortured to death in front of his mother. Think about it. And his heavenly Father and all the angels in heaven. Can you imagine the pain and the suffering? That's at the center of our Christian faith. And yet out of that great suffering came great triumph. Isn't that glorious? Out of the great suffering came great triumph. That's what Jesus is about in your life and in our lives. He redeems us, he restores us, and here's the third bit. He causes us to triumph. And every bit of suffering that you've been through, God wants you to triumph. Why? So that you can reveal his glory here on earth. And out of that glory, you can rescue other people. Our vision now is to reach 2 billion people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through our brokenness, his grace will flow and touch all those folks. So it's dependability. It's a willingness to be loyal, to hold on to him. Even in the hardest times, you will hold on to him. He'll never let you go. Don't ever let him go. Hold on to him. Be loyal and dependable friend to Jesus Christ. I love watching those young people singing, but I know in my heart of hearts that God's going to test them. He'll test you in your life because he wants to bring out gold. Gold. That's what the goldsmith does. You go through those times and God's bringing out gold that you'll really be such a clear ambassador for him. And the last characteristic of friendship I want to talk about this morning is openness and honesty. You see, when you're good friends with someone, you can be totally honest with them. Have you ever tried to be a friend when you know someone else is holding things back? It's very hard, isn't it? They're hiding things. You can't be friends with that. The wonderful thing about real love is that you can be your real self. When you know you're deeply loved, you don't have to hide things because I know you're going to love me whatever. I know whatever I tell you, you'll keep loving me. And that's how God is with us. He wants us to be totally honest and totally open. To be able to say, do you know what? I'm going through a hard time here, God. I'm struggling here. You may remember the story of Gideon. Do you remember Gideon? And he was threshing wheat inside of a wine press because they were afraid of the Midianites. And then the angel of the Lord came. And he said to him, Gideon, you're a great, mighty man of valor. Do you remember what Gideon said? He questioned. He questioned what was going on. He was an honest man. He questioned and said, hang on, if I'm a mighty man of valor, why has all this happened? God wants us to be honest with him, not try and hide things back. Do you know half of the Psalms are laments? Half of the Psalms speak of the psalmist saying, God, where are you? What's going on here? Where are you? After the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about the person who moves the mountains with great faith, raises up the dead and everything else. But he said, I never knew you. I never knew you. You never allowed me to come deep within you. You were never honest with me. You never opened up to me your deepest fears and your deepest struggles. I know them anyway, but why weren't you allowing me to be a friend to you? Why didn't you tell me your deepest thoughts? And I've come to realize in these last 6 months how much God wants us to be totally honest with him. Like the psalmist, like David, King David. In fact, all the people who were honest with God, they were great friends. Lord, I'm struggling here. And I say that to him sometimes. We still struggle. We have days of, we miss Rebecca and Alex hugely. You see, it was just 8 years on from Alex going home that our precious Rebecca, terrible, terrible accident in Lake Michigan. And she fell into the lake, couldn't get out where she'd fallen in. She was a wonderful woman of God. Two people at least said to her, she's a modern day saint, just unbelievably beautiful in every way. The water was 37 degrees and she got hypothermia and she drowned. So once again, we were thrown into great darkness. And once again, we were struggling and broken. And Jeannie couldn't go on. Her mother's heart shattered. She couldn't go on. God's grace came to us in a different way because as she went up into Rebecca's room, she was going to take her own life. And as she closed the door, God came in that room. And she had a supernatural encounter with God. Didn't see a physical person, but there was light. Light came into the room. And just like I had an encounter in February of 1980, Jeannie had an encounter in 2014. The interesting thing is that God spoke to her many, many things in that time when he was in his presence. It was like heaven came down. She was even aware that of Alex and Rebecca, amazingly, because they're more alive than we are, you see. That's the truth of it. But she was so taken up with Jesus that she didn't even need to look around and to look at them. Because, you see, that's what God wants us to be, so taken up with Jesus. She came out of that room and she said, all I want to hear now is, well done, good and faithful servant. You ran a good race. You were faithful to what I've asked you to be. That's good friendship, you see. And so now Jeannie and I were on the same point. She was totally rescued in that encounter with God, amazingly. And now we're on the same boat, and that's what we go on. But we still struggle from time to time. We still have days when we're very broken and we miss Rebecca. And I'm honest with God. I'm saying, God, look, I know that you allowed this to happen for a greater eternal plan and purpose. You see, he permitted, he was over it. Yeah, he hates it, but he was doing something for eternity. Could you get that? That when he works through our lives, it's for an eternal plan and purpose. Not just now, but through eternity. It's of greater value and of greater power than the pain that we go through, and his grace comes to meet us in it. It's his eternal plan and purpose. But we speak out to God. You see, God says to us that he wants us to come to him and cry out to him for his glory to be revealed on earth. To be honest with him and say, Lord, we want to see your glory. And so I take great comfort from the story of the persistent widow. Persistent widow, you know, do you remember the story? And she had had injustice in her life. Things had happened in her life that shouldn't have happened. Don't put your hands up, but I'm sure we could all say there's things that have happened in my life that should not have happened. It's not right. It's not just. Some of you know that. And what does Jesus say in that persistent widow, that story? He says she cried out to the unjust judge and say, give me justice. Bring justice to me in that situation. I want to see justice. And Jesus says at the end of that parable, he says to her, and if she can cry out to justice, how much more will God answer those who cry out to justice for today? And then he says, will I find faith on earth when the Son of Man comes? And I've come to realize that God wants us to be a people who know what his heart is. We know what his word says. We know what should happen and shouldn't happen in his kingdom. Do you agree with that? You see, he says in Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, don't, as a wise man, don't boast that you're wise. Don't boast that you're strong or that you're rich. If you want to boast, boast about this. Boast that you know me. You're my friend. And you understand me. You now understand what my heart is. You understand the things that I want, the things that I love, the things that I hate. You know who I am. Boast about that. You see, when we know God like that, when we know what his heart is, we can cry out to him like that persistent widow. We say, God, we want to see justice here on earth. We know what your word says. Your word says that you will move when things are unjust. And we can say, we know things that happened in our life, they shouldn't have happened. So we say, we want to see your glory coming, Lord. We want to see you to be glorified through our brokenness. And I believe that we can all say that, where we've had brokenness in our heart. We say, Lord, I want your glory, your kingdom to come. You'd reveal yourself even through this tragic situation. That's what happened with Joseph, wasn't it? You intended it for evil. God intended it for good, for the saving of many lives. Praise God. Shortly after Alex went home, God quickened to my heart. Romans 16, verse 20, it said this. It says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's what God wants to do through every one of our lives, is to crush Satan under our feet. Praise God. And through our brokenness, we don't just sit back and think, oh boy, it's just happened. Through our brokenness, we say, no, Lord, show your glory, show your justice. That's a prayer from the heart. That's a prayer that brings down God's kingdom. Praise God. So those are the three things of friendship I want to share on this morning. Number one, that we'll be people who are in agreement with God's word, that we love his word, we memorize the scriptures. Number two, that we're going to be loyal and dependent, we're going to hold on to his word. Whatever happens, we'll hold on to him. And number three, we're going to be open and honest. Never pretending. Hey, if I'm going through a hard day, I'll share with you I'm going through a hard day. I'll be open and I'll be honest to all of this.
So let me just close with a prayer, if I may. And I guess we have a time of prayer, Nick, shall we? Is that good? Just be open to the Holy Spirit. God is here this morning. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's unchanging. You said, Lord, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. And Lord, we know that we can hold on to your promises, Lord. We can stand on your promises, Lord. Lord, you said that you chose us. We didn't choose you. You chose us, Lord. And we're in this room here this morning as your people. And Lord, we want to cry out to you for your glory to be revealed. We long for you, Jesus, to be manifest here in this part of North London, Lord, throughout England, spreading across the world, Lord. We long for your presence. We long for your glory to be manifest. So, Lord, start with each one of us, Lord. You know the struggles that we've all had. You know the things that have happened in our lives that shouldn't have happened in a sense. Lord, you permitted them. And now we ask that through them, Lord, you'd reveal your glory. Through them, you would reveal your purposes and your power, your greatness, the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you that in your kingdom, Lord, nothing happens by coincidence, Lord. You are sovereign. You're over all things. Lord, show your glory. Show your power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to just give opportunity now. I don't know whether we have a music or what we do, but opportunity now for folks to be prayed for. We need one another. One of the great things that Jeannie and I have experienced is the work of the body of Jesus Christ. How we've been hugged by God through his body. People have come around us and loved us and hugged us and taken care of us in our brokenness. And I believe God wants to do that this morning with folks here who have known brokenness, no brokenness in your life. There's things that have happened that have caused you deep pain and deep suffering. And I believe God wants to bring a level of healing this morning and strength and purpose to restore your destiny. Maybe you'd lost heart. How can I ever trust God again because of what's happened in my life? It's actually the opposite to what you think. God never left you. Actually, he's working through it and wants to do great things in your life. Do great things in your life. And so as we give these things over to him, and as we're honest and open and we lay them before him, he can take those things and turn them around and accomplish great things. So in the quietness, you may want to just acknowledge. Maybe there's deep hurts and deep scars. Maybe there's things that have held you captive. Things that have locked you up inside. Maybe you've lost hope in certain areas. Maybe you've said in your heart, you know what? I'll just keep my head low. I'll keep my head low. I won't push out too much because, hey, I've been so hurt in doing that before. And God wants you to rise up this morning to be a great warrior for him. It says those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. And in every area, Satan has come to try and destroy your life. God is saying, no, it's the opposite. I want to turn you into a great champion to cause you to triumph through the cross of Jesus Christ. I have a chance to pray with you in a moment. It's restoring destiny. It's restoring hope, restoring purpose this morning. It's the same, Lord, take my life, take my brokenness, take all the disappointment, all the things that have happened that have caused me to hold back. And now I want to be bold, bold as a lion, praise God. Take hold of that destiny. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In a moment, Gerard and she would be happy to pray for anybody. I'm sure there are a number of people here who really suffer and going through something at the moment, and it's good to be able to be a friend to each other, and Gerard and Jeannie will pray with you. But I just wanted to bring us back to the thing that Philippa saw of a door, and it was Jesus saying there's an open door. And this Sunday in 1974, I asked Jesus into my life, and I was completely transformed. In a moment of time, the next day I was completely changed. I believe it this morning, just to say, there's anybody here who's never asked Jesus into their life, today could be the day for you. There is an open door. Jesus said, look, listen, he said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone comes to me and opens the door, I will come in. No question, I will come in. If anybody... And if that's you this morning, then don't lose the opportunity of asking Jesus into your life. The other thing that Philippus saw was that we've asked Jesus in a little bit. What if Jesus asked his friends? He said, look, I've got some friends I want to bring into your life, as well as me. And for you to be more hospitable, to open up your life to his purpose, then this morning, let's just say, yes, Jesus, I'm opening up my life to you. I want to let you right into my life for the first time. Let's all stand, shall we?
I'm just thinking that just in what Nick was saying and what Philippa, the word she had, that I just think there's some here this morning who want to recommit, in a sense, your life to be the best friend you can be to Jesus. To say, I just want to be your friend, Jesus. I want to be everything that will bring you pleasure and to cause you to have a smile on your face. And so as Nick said, if you want to give your heart to Jesus this morning, I want to encourage you to come forward to do that. If you are stirred this morning to say, hey, this morning I want to just declare again that I'm going to be Jesus's best friend and I want to give my everything, hold nothing back to him, then just come forward. We'd love to pray with you for that, just to encourage you, give you strength through the Holy Spirit. Pray the Holy Spirit will give you that power that we all need to do God's will. So as we just worship, just come forward now if you want to. We'd like to have prayer for that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Yeah.
Happy New Year. It's just a beautiful opportunity to remember the faithfulness of God as we concluded a year. And it's one of the good things that I like in the month of January, that I can have a blank sheet to start writing new stuff. And not all the time is the stuff good, but at least it is new. So we're going to pray. If you'd like to stand up on your feet, thank you.
Lord, we thank you for Gerald and Jeannie. And Lord, I ask that as he speaks today, Lord, I pray that you'll open our ears so that we can hear what they're saying, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Yeah, Lord, I thank you for this new year. I thank you for last year and all the, for getting us through it, whether it's a difficult year or a good year, full of joy and also trials. And I pray for this next year that you would be so close to us, in a fresh way, and we would know even more of you than we did last year. Amen.
Lord, thank you for bringing us together today. Please help us really have a really good year this year, and we'll know that you're always with us. Amen.
Amen.
Before we start the worship, where's Philippa? Yeah. She's got a word for us.
I was just in the prayer meeting before, and I've been given a picture, actually, of an open door. And actually, it's in some ways, it's easy to open the door to Jesus coming in. But actually, part of the picture as well was like we were almost saying, you know, but you have to clean your shoes. Actually, you can't sit there. Actually, you can't be in that room. It's not quite right, and you can't go there. And I just have been really challenged over Christmas about Mary's response when the angel had come to tell her about Jesus. And actually, that was going to utterly turn her life upside down. Here she was, not married, pregnant, you know, kind of going from being up here to right down here in social rankings, just utterly ruined her life. in a worldly way. And I just felt actually you're just really challenged about how far do we let Jesus in? You know, we can open the door, but are there places or conditions that we put that we can't let him into certain places or certain areas? So I just, yeah.
Amen. I think we should just pray about that, that the Lord should just help us, because it's sometimes in my life, there are some areas where I just say to God, can you just stay away from here for a while so that I can just deal with this one myself? But the Lord is saying to us this morning, let me in. Our Father, I just want to say, please forgive us. Even when we are so comfortable and we say, stay away from this, Lord, we don't know it. Help us. Touch our hearts. Touch our lives. Come into our big life and make a meaning of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy all the works of the devil. We hail him as King, because unto us a child was born, unto us a son is given. Father, we want to say thank you for the gift of eternity. Thank you for the hope of tomorrow. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness. Thank you because you are alive, we live. All glory and honor and praise to your name. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I think we can do better than that. We can clap. Amen. We are going to take our offering in the next few minutes. Please, if you are worshiping with us for the first time, there is no obligation to give. But our new life giving is part of our worship. And one of the things that I enjoy is knowing that I have a God that will always outdo me. No matter what I do for him, he's always a step ahead. Amen. I'll give us a few minutes to package our offering for those who are doing so. And when we are ready, can we kind of stand up on our feet? And this time we're going to dance. Amen. We're going to dance. Not English kind of dance, nah. Maybe a bit of American. You know, yeah, you know. Or some African dance. If you've been to South Africa before, I know we have a couple of South Africans here. There's a tribe called the Zulus, and they have a traditional festival. And during this festival, the king sits on his majestic throne, and all the inhabitants of the land dance before their king. How beautiful is it? Just imagine that our maker and our God is seated here this morning, and we're going to please him with our dance. And I want you to just connect with him and show him appreciation for a whole year, 365 days. He looked after you, looked after me, all the difficulties of my life. He's helping me. I'm not there yet, but he's helping me every day. Amen. So let's rise upon our feet and as our lovely musician just lead us to his presence. Thank you.
New faces here. Just to say, if you're new here this morning and you slipped in quietly at the back, that there's an information desk over there, and there's a yellow card here. And if you'd like us to stay in touch with you, do fill that in, and we can keep you informed with all the great things that are going on. It's a new year, isn't it? Fantastic. I've got a kind of verse of the year, which I want to read out to you, because I believe that God is doing a new thing. Let me just read this out to you. Isaiah 43 verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I just feel in my heart that God is going to do some wonderful things this new year. and he wants us to be ready for it. Why don't we just wish everybody a happy new year? Find somebody that you don't know or you don't know very well. If you can't find any of them, you can greet an old friend and wish them a happy new year. Okay, guys, where is Michelle? Where is Michelle? Could you find that verse of the month? Okay, guys, we're gonna attempt now to restore some order and get you back in focus. And our dear Michelle has been blessing us every month for several years. I believe this is the last year. Is that right, Michelle? We're going to finally run out this year of verses of the month. So, Phil, there it is. The verse of the month is up there. And Michelle is going to read it out to you. And you are hopefully going to repeat it after you. After her, I beg your pardon. In your newsletter, you will see on the first page, it says verse of the month. And the idea is that we could learn that, not very difficult, and think about it, meditate on it, and it could become part of our being by the end of this month. Off you go, Michelle.
Okay. Right. It's a slightly different version to the one I learned, but there you go. Never mind. Yes. So you did not choose me. Let's say that. You did not choose me. But I chose you and appointed you. But I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. John 15:16. Yeah, so it's an amazing promise, isn't it? Amazing that God wants to answer our prayers and he chose us. So that's great, isn't it?
Fantastic. Thank you, Michelle. I just want to say thank you to everybody who turned up at 8:30 this morning to help us set up. It feels different, doesn't it? Change is good, isn't it? Sometimes we get a bit settled. Hopefully by the time we've finished here, we'll be bursting at the seams and ready to rush back to the newly renovated school hall. So they're making it very nice for us there. But we're probably going to be here till Easter. So we're going to enjoy that. Just to mention, oh yeah, this Tuesday, very important, 8th of January, it's the first prayer meeting. Normally a good number of people come to that and we have a fantastic time. And it really is the heart of everything we do. So I really encourage you, 7:30 p.m. at Highgate Road Chapel, down the road from here. Do feel free to come along to that. Also to mention that ECOS, which means English Conversation on Sunday. And so every couple of weeks after church, we give an hour of our time to converse with people who want to improve their English. And the wonderful thing is that many of those people have come to the meetings and have even come to know our Jesus. So that's very exciting. But that's 1 p.m., not next week. The week after. And then very exciting is Alpha. So we arranged this Alpha course. We're going to be doing it with St. Luke's and Revelation Church. And it's at St. Luke's Church. We all have the food together and then we have our own tables and we have a really good time. And so far there are 7 people who are interested in doing Alpha for the first time. So that's very exciting, isn't it? Let's pray that that more will join them and those that are interested in doing it would actually come along. And we need for that 1 or 2 more men who could just come and help. Actually, what Alpha ends up being, as well as being a wonderful opportunity to find out about Jesus and Christianity, it's actually a great time for fellowship. And often a small group would be born out of that Alpha group. But we need a couple more guys, really. So if you're free on Wednesday evening and would like to help with Alpha, then do have a word with me or Michelle, the young lady that was here just now. And then finally, Joe, do you want to just tell us what's happening with the teenagers today?
Yes. So, because we're a long way away from the children's rooms and everything, basically what's happening today is Tribe and Ablaze are staying in to hear Gerard and Jeannie share. So that's all secondary is staying in to hear the guys share. And Flame and Sunbeams are going out, but, okay, there's a but to this. It's a long way there, and some of you can run unbelievably fast, okay? I won't mention names, but there are some very fast runners in Flame. If you tear out there and then run down those stairs, I'm worried that you're going to fall. So could we just have a very simple rule that when you get to the stairs, you come to a screeching halt and walk calmly down the stairs, okay? Looking at one or two very fast runners that there are, okay? And then so Sunbeams and Flame and everything is back down in the normal rooms. Finally, there's various birthdays, okay? If you were born on the 1st of January or the 2nd or the 3rd or the 4th or the 5th or today the 6th, we want to celebrate your birthday because, as Nick, who's born on the 5th, always points out to me, at this time of year, everyone has run out of cash and they've also run out of goodwill. They're like, for goodness sake, I can't do birthdays. I've just done Christmas. So we are going to celebrate the people that were born on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th or 6th. So could you come up, please? Oh, look at this. Oh, guys. Brilliant. Oh, look at this. We have a twin birthday here. These guys are twins. And we have Veronica. Wow. Do you want to say what's your birthday?
The first.
The first.
The fifth.
Second.
The second for Veronica. Brilliant. And fifth. The fifth, the same as Nick. Yeah. All of us. Who was born first? Ah, okay. Just ahead. Right, brilliant. I can't sing. Can someone start Happy Birthday? Brilliant.
Happy birthday to you.
There's a cake. I hope you got those names. Whoa. Way. Wow, look at this. You're going to have to go slow, collection, or they're going to blow out. You're doing really well. Wow. One, two, three, four, five. There's a candle each. Okay, you've got to blow out one candle.
One.
Oh, impressive. And, oh. Oh, look at this. Amazing. Wow. Hey, look at this. Yes. Okay, we're just going to quickly pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for keeping us all safe in 2018. We pray for these guys, especially who've already had their birthdays this year, for an amazing year. Thank you for your great blessing and great kindness. And we pray that that would be poured out on all six of these guys and on us as well. Amen. Amen.
Fantastic. Bob. So, children, if you'd like to go out, teenagers are staying in today.
Yeah, hey. Just wait for the general hubbub to go down. Vickers just suggested I tell everyone where the toilets are.